I don't know where to put in this, so I'm just going to insert it here and buckle up, I think, a little bit. I'm like, is this going to be rocky, Lord? Because I don't know where you want me to put this. So I'm just going to start with this, kind of coming off of worship. But I was reminded when I was worshiping, you know, when we're worshiping together, it requires all of us to come together and like vocalize our singing. You know, there is this thing that I learned that if you're ever in an emergency or you come up to an emergency, you should never assume that anyone has called 911. So if you're in a, like you're, there's an accident or you see something that happens or you're somehow there, you're never supposed to just assume that person is calling 911. With that, you aren't also, they say in training I've had, that you shouldn't just be like, can someone call 911? Because everyone will assume that someone's going to call 911. When you are in those situations, what you're actually supposed to do is say, woman in the black shirt, can you call 911? And so What I have, and let's see if I'm going to try to put this all together, is recently Sam and I were traveling back from Indiana, and when her and I travel together, we do everything together. So we go to the bathroom together. Like when we have traveled back and forth to the East Coast so many times. So we just kind of have a rhythm when we're together. We know we don't ever leave each other. The only time that I could think of Sam ever goes anywhere by herself, even though she's 17, is when I'm dropping her off at the field she's about to play. Like that's the only time. But when we're together, we're always together. And so we pull up to this gas station. We just had pulled into Janesville. And I said, you know, restroom or pump first? She said, why don't you pump first? So I said, okay. So as we pump first, all of a sudden what I saw, and I was going back and forth with Sharon, and I won't go into a lot of detail, but so you can get the gist of what I feel, how this is all connected, hopefully. I was trying to figure out my card, and it was not working, and I was like kind of distracted, and I could kind of hear a little bit of chaos in front of me. So I kind of looked, but I was trying to like put gas in the car. And what ultimately transpired was there was this fight that took place, and it was very apparent that they were under some sort of like substance, some sort of substances, whether it be alcohol or drugs, I don't know. And a fight took place, and so I looked and I saw this woman who was closer than I was, and I just said, are you calling 911? And she said yes. So she called 911, and there was a medical emergency that ended up having to take place, and I just was so grieved in my spirit. Now that is kind of traumatic to watch in itself, but that wasn't why, if we could understand the separation between the two. What I saw grieved me not because of what had happened, even though that in itself was grieving. Something that one of the people said was, this is my brother. This is my brother. This is my brother. Leave us alone. And after I kind of processed everything, Sam actually saw the whole thing happen because she was sitting in the car. So she's looking at it and I'm like half paying attention. But as I got in the car after they left medical, like after all of everything kind of happened and her and I talked about, like, I cannot believe we just saw that. I was grieved because there was a few things. I told Jay, I said, you know, if those two people were really siblings, my heart went out to them of what has transpired in their life that they would be to this point of desperation. My heart was broken for the brokenness that was very evident in through this whole transaction. And what I realized in this as we were here is that there is a responsibility we kind of have to each other when we come into these places to call 911, so to speak, for each other in worship. That we wouldn't just assume, oh, she's going to sing, or my singing doesn't matter, but that there is something that happens when all of us, and worship is interesting because it's a little bit uncomfortable. You know, sometimes when Sam is up here, she can hear me sing, and I don't always know the words, or I'm singing louder than I realize, and sometimes I'll catch myself, and we'll kind of glance at each other and smile, and she'll laugh, or, you know, whatever, but singing in worship, we kind of just let it be this private thing. But when we're in a corporate place like this together, part of what we're to do is to come before and us collectively call out to God in worship. It is that place that I'm not going to just assume that Micah's just going to take care of it, or I'm, you know, she's just going to take care. No, we are to come together and in unity of knowing that we come together and we worship the Father. And what we're actually doing is where our voices are collectively coming in unity in worship. And what that is similar to is we don't just assume someone else is going to call 911. We choose to say, I'm gonna vocalize, I'm gonna sing off key, I'm gonna maybe raise my hands if it's, and I have no clue what you guys do. I'm my back is to you, so you all might be like raising your hands, singing, I don't know. But I just want us to always remember that we all need each other's collective voice. We all need us calling out to the Lord together in unity. And as we continue to press in, and we press in, and we press in. And what does press in means? It means we just give a little bit more. We surrender a little bit more. We begin to see how he wants to move mightily and us encounter us in worship. And so I just want to encourage you that if you don't sing well, you don't know the words, that's all okay. It's about positioning our heart and standing before the Lord and say, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. This has nothing to do with me. You're worthy of it all. I surrender all. You know, it's interesting. I did not know, Micah and I did not plan what we were going to be, I was going to be talking on. I was in the fellowship hall and I could hear our speakers are hooked up over there. And so they still might be over there, over the speakers, but I could hear the song she was singing. And I just thought, Lord, you're so good, because it's calling us to a place of surrender, which is also a little bit of where my message is today. You know, last Sunday I shared a word that I had sensed that was from the Lord in regards to the season we were walking in with the tension of election, with the tension of change, with the tension of everything that was happening. I'm going to read it because that's going to be where I start off again today. So last week I shared that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities. And what I shared was, despite what happens, our prayer can remain the same. Lord, create in me a clean heart. A heart that is after you, a heart that is shapeable. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Help me keep my eyes and heart on you. As everything shifts around me, keep me immovable. Continue to reveal your plans for me, for in your heart for others. If there is an issue that I am worried about, Lord, would you show me what the root is? Because the issue is only a symptom. Would our prayers be accelerated in these times, and may we not be caught off guard? You know, as I was sharing about what Samantha and I had experienced, what I also realized is there's a deep place in me and why this is important for us to keep our hearts before the Lord that can become deeply desensitized to the world around us. With the amount of information, now I admittedly will admit that this week I probably was on my phone, on social media, way more than I needed to be. Just like updates, what's happening, what are people saying, what is the new, like just everywhere, right? Like it just is a big week. So I just know that I was way more. But what happens in the process of all of that is it desensitizes our hearts. It desensitizes our minds. There was a time when we would go to the movies and a rated R movie was like the most graphic. It was rated R because it was like the most graphic thing you could see and the unimaginable. And now we can open our devices and we can see the most unimaginable graphic things that we have never been able before. We are in a time where information and understanding experiences, or seeing experiences, is limitless. You want to know what it's like in a war-torn country? You can find that on TikTok. You want to know what this looks like? You can, like, everything is at our fingertips. And the problem with that is it's not just information that comes into our mind, but what it does is it actually desensitizes our hearts from the reality of what's happening, and our hearts no longer are broken. Instead, when we see situations, we're like, what did they do? Or did they deserve it? Or we're so consumed by the exterior actions, and we're no longer moved by what actually is happening in someone's life, that they would be at such a desperate place that they would act out in person, that they would turn to definitely whatever substances they were to fulfill the needs and their brokenness. We no longer are moved by that, and yet we're moved to judgment. And my prayer for us today is that we would begin to have a blueprint that would help us to keep moving forward, to be peace people who are agents of peacemaking, that we would have a blueprint that our heart, because it says to guard our heart above all else, above all else. We're to guard our heart. Why? Because out of it is supposed to have like springs of life coming out of it. Out of it, it's the place that Jesus shapes the most so that I can see and be moved by the things that he's moved, but we have to guard it. And so my heart and my hope today is that I will somehow accurately begin to give us just a blueprint of how to keep our heart before the Lord. You know, I was a few weeks ago driving somewhere in the morning, and I had this thought. There's a friend, well, she's like a family friend. I've known her since I was little. She's maybe about 10 years older than me, maybe even less. I think she said she had just turned 50, so she's not even 10 years older than me. But I grew up with her. So, you know, when you're really young, someone seems really much older than you, and then you realize the age gap is actually not that big. Well, that's where I am. When she told me, I just celebrated my 50th birthday, I thought, not that she looked old. I'm like, I just thought you were way older than me. So I had this thought while I was driving. I wonder what her time with the Lord looks like. It was just like this random thought. I wasn't thinking about the Lord necessarily. I wasn't like contemplating about like my time with the Lord, but I just had this thought. I wonder what her time looks like with the Lord. I like to find out how people find their rhythms with spending time with Jesus. It is just something that intrigues me, maybe because I struggle with it sometimes. So I like to know, how do you make time for Jesus? What does it look like? Not with judgment, not with criticism. Could you just tell me about what your fellowship time looks like with him? So I sent her a text. I said, hey, I was wondering, had this thought, what is your fellowship time, or what is your time with the Lord look like? And she said, can I call you? Because to tell you, I couldn't do it by text. I said, okay. So her and I, a couple days later, we connected on the phone, and she was sharing just some things that the Lord was doing in her. And something that stuck out to me that I think is really kind of the framework or a thing for us to consider. She was sharing how she was at a conference and the speaker was speaking. And one of the things that she said that for her began this like domino of revelation with fellowship with the Lord was the question was that the speaker was saying, Lord, show me where I have been deceived. A simple prayer. Now, her and I, in the context of how we know each other, the pastors we grew up around are amazing pastors. So it wasn't like this thing that like, oh, you've been deceived by them. But Lord, would you show me where I've been deceived? As I thought about it, I thought about how many times do we pick up situations and things along the way, ideas, even with good intention and motives, but they actually begin to turn our attention away from the Lord instead of turning us back. And it leads me to our scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. Now, this is one of my favorite passages of scripture, but we're just going to look at the end. Psalms 139, and we're going to look at verses 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, the reality is that our goal in this life is to be more like Christ at the end of the day. That we are shaped and molded into who he's called and created us to be. And in this beautiful passage of scripture in 139, David is saying, like, Lord, you've known me. You know the deep parts of me. You knit me together in my mother's womb long before I even was in existence. But at the end of this, he says, would you search me, O God, and know my heart. Even in David celebrating the fact that he is deeply known by God, he knows that the Lord must search him first because there are places that are hidden even from David. And as I was considering all of this together, jumbling in my mind like a connect the dots of everything, is on the question of where have I been deceived? Lord, would you search me, O God? David is inviting God, and I think that this is the beginning of the blueprint for us, to invite God to exert, to search us and examine us through and through. To find out the things that are hidden, to find the places where we've become desensitized, to find the places where we've lost hope, to find the places where we have forgotten. Would our heart be in this season, God, would you search me? Would you know my search me and know my heart? So many times what ends up happening is, and this is all connected, is as we get older, we begin to fill in the cracks along the way. And sometimes when we fill in the cracks, we don't fill it with the Lord. And what happens then is when we come and we find ourselves in these situations, oftentimes when there is peril, stress, frustration, anxiety, whatever it is, oftentimes what comes up or what shows are those cracks. And the things that we put our hope in and our trust in, we turn to instead of turning to God and say, God, would you just search me and teach me what's going on in my heart regarding this situation? You know, when you think about it, it's inherently in us to try to fix a situation without God. You think about Adam and Eve, right? They sin, and what do they immediately do? They knit together themselves some little fig leaves, and then they hide. Instead of running to the Father, instead of running to the person who they had been in fellowship with, they tried to fix it, and it wasn't even suffice. And when we look at what God does in Genesis, is he makes them close. He covers them. He says, why were you hiding? So many times we want to fix things on our own, and instead of allowing the Lord to come and fix them in ourselves. But the only way we can do that is if we keep our heart in front of him and said, Lord, would you search me and know my heart? Would you try me and know my anxieties? Would you see if there's anything wicked in me and lead me in a way everlasting? Like, it really is that simple. How do we guard our heart? We keep it before the Lord. You know, something that I realized early on, so I grew up basically like a latchkey kid. That's what the term was in the 90s. I have two older sisters, one that's 12 years older than me, one that's 4 years older than me. My mom worked tirelessly, multiple jobs, and so I was self-sufficient at a very young age. Which is fine. I have lots of stories, and my kids can never tell me there's nothing to eat because I will always tell them there is something to eat. Because what did I learn how to do at a young age? I always had tortillas. I always made quesadillas or tortilla with butter, and that was that. Anyway, so I was very self-sufficient as a young child. What I learned, and the reason I say this, why I have to keep my heart before the Lord, is because at a young age, I learned how to take care of myself. I'm not mad about it. I'm not like angry. It just was the reality that there was circumstances that were beyond any of our control that had me on my own. And I learned how to take care of myself. The problem with that now is that guess what I really have a hard time doing? Asking for help. In fact, I couldn't even tell you I don't mind sharing this because this is about me. Not only that, I actually have a hard time articulating what I need help with. Because in my mind, I've already figured out how I'm, like, whatever it is, I've already figured out what it's going to be. If I have a busy day, I usually start my day, kind of go through my task list, think about what needs to be solved, what needs to be fixed, and then I'm just going to move on my way. And you can join me, you can come with me, you can come alongside of me, and usually if anyone that knows me really well, I'm like, oh, just come talk to me. Oh, just be here, just be here. I don't know. I have the hardest time articulating how I need help. I have a hard time asking for help because the reality is I've learned how to be sufficient on my own, and I probably will figure it out. And I'll do it fine. I won't be like angry about it. It just is what it is. The problem with that is, think about how I probably, and the answer is I do it a lot. I just rush through things when there's a situation I'm facing, whether it's in our finances, whether it's in our church, whether it's our kids, whether it's in my marriage. And guess what I just do? I just figure it out. I just don't even consider. There are things that I do consider I always keep before the Lord. My kids being one of them. That's probably the one place that I'm like the best at, because it has to do with something else where I'll be like, Lord, I don't know what to do. But a lot of other places I just plow through, because guess what I've always done? I've just taken care of it for myself. Now, we all have things like that, that I don't say, Lord, my heart feels like it has this. Would you just show me what you want to do? Because I don't know that necessarily me plowing through things all the time is the wrong answer. I just don't take the time to ask the Lord if that is the answer. Do you see the difference? See, when we do this, when I learn to be self-sufficient in a place where I don't even think, I just know the Lord's put me here. The Lord's put us as pastors here. The Lord's put me here. Like, right? And I would just go through these motions instead of inviting the Lord, would you search me? Oh, God, would you try me and know my anxieties? If there's anything wicked in me, if there's any place deceived in me, would you tell me? Would you show me? See, this is so important, because as we're talking about moving forward with being ministers of Christ, we have to be aware of the places that we have compartmentalized God and say, okay, God, you're here on Sundays. And now there might be some people who treat Sundays kind of like a quick fix, like literally, like, oh, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to get my fill for the week, and then I'm just going to go on through the week and forget about him, unless there's a dire situation. And then I'll call out back to the Lord, and then I call out, and wait, I pray. He comes through, and then I just move through again. See, I think those times are like dissipating. Those times to live compartmentalized is going away. How do I know? This week, a lot of what I've heard has been so much division, so much you, me, out of my, there's so much of this like hate that is wanting to be spewed up. And what we have to realize is if we don't watch our own hearts, we will become desensitized. We will become talking like everyone else. We'll become acting like everyone else. We'll think it's okay, because guess what? I go to church on Sunday, and sometimes I read my Bible. And what we don't realize is we're plowing through without the Lord. And David, and if you know anything about David, he was probably one of the most flawed men in scripture from beginning to end with his decisions, his life. Like, he like murdered someone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was lying. David was not this, like, even though it says like David was a man after God's own heart, his life, if you look at it, was complex and complicated and sinful. And yet he said, Lord, would you search me and would you know me? Search me, oh God. I believe for us to be effective peacemakers in our time is to be people who ask the Lord to continue to search our heart, and not just search it, move on it. You know, last week in church when we were in communion, the Lord, I sat there and I just said, Lord, help me with my indifference. There's a situation that I've been walking through where I went from being like mad and hurt, and then I just realized, oh, now I'm indifferent and I don't care. Ugh. Like, that's yucky. Like, that's yucky. When we become indifferent towards people, because it wasn't towards us, it was towards people. And I keep asking, Lord, would you help me with my indifference? Because indifference is a reflection of the yuckiness in my heart. We can't be indifferent towards people. And the only way that we move and we love people and we're ministers of Christ is by having our heart examined by the Lord. And those things that hold on, that we're holding on to, that we would lay at his feet, that we would surrender to him. That it's more than just like forgiveness. And I say this because right now there's a lot of language around people, how we should treat people and boundaries. There's a lot of language and knowledge about all and trauma, all of this stuff. Good stuff. But if it doesn't lead us back to the Lord, what's the purpose? I say that because right now we're in a time that seems there's a lot of vulnerable people, and all we can do is say, Lord, would you search me? I don't ever want to be held onto any one issue more than held on to you. I don't ever want to be held on to anyone's situation more than you. I think it's interesting that he says, and see or try me and know my anxieties. He doesn't just say, like, search me, God. He doesn't just say, know my heart. But he said, would you know my anxieties? Because there's places that David clearly was feeling anxious about life. There was clearly an inability to reconcile to whatever part with what he was going through and what God was trying to do. And he says, would you see if there's any wicked in me and lead me in a way of everlasting? See, we need to be led through this. There's something that I'm like, okay, Lord, so you need to show me what the next step is. Because right now I'm trying to move out of indifference, so I need you to show me what the next step is. And I think that's you, so I'm just going to move to that next step of what I think you're asking me to do. Because I want to be moved out of indifference. I want to be moved out of this place of anxiousness. I want to be moved out of this place of anger towards a person. Because all that does is it hinders us with the Lord. And it hinders us with the Lord speaking to us. And then we're frustrated. And it's like, because we won't let go of things. Because we try to hide from him and say, that doesn't matter here. No, no, no. The Lord wants us to guard our heart above all else. Which means I need to ask him to search me and show me and then move into action towards that. What if we daily just ask the Lord, Lord, would you search my heart today? Would you show me my anxieties and where my worries are affecting my thoughts and actions towards myself, others, and you? And then look for him through the day to answer that prayer. So many times I was sharing, there's times that I've prayed, Lord, would you just show me what's going on? And then like something will happen and then I'm like stunned by the situation. I think I was telling my mom this once and I'm like, but I was praying, Lord, would you show me? The Lord wants to show us. We don't have to witch hunt. We don't have to go through guilt. As I was sitting there during communion, Lord, help me with my indifference. And he said, okay, this is your next step. And I don't have to worry, like, do I need to do more? No, the Lord is so good and faithful to us because he loves us, because he's faithful to his word. You know, what I love about David in Psalms is how it reflects the deep, true places of David's situation in his heart. When you read through the Psalms, it's not like just like these Psalms of praises. There's these laments. There's this agony. There's this place of like, they're coming after me. They're wanting to kill me. David, and then David just will say, but Lord, but would you show yourself strong? Would you show, you know, would you go after my enemies? Would you like all the time? That's what I love about Psalms. So we're going to turn to Psalms 143 verses 7 through 12. So the first place was we just asked, Lord, would you show us, would you search our hearts? Would you show us the places that have become maybe indifferent? Would you show us the places that are wicked? Would you show us the places that have been deceived, even with good intent? Things I believe that are no longer good for me, right? Would you show us, Lord? The second part I love in here is that we would ask him to teach us to do his will. Psalms 143 says, starting at verse 7, if you read it, it's read the whole Psalms, but I'm just going to pick up right in the middle. David is saying, answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. Have you ever felt that way? Like, Lord, why? Come on, Lord, I could use an answer right now. Like, do you not hear me? Am I the only one? I got one hand. Not that you all need to raise your hands, but some, I know for me that I've been like, I can just pray that. Like, those seem to be my words. Like, could you answer me speedily, Lord? Do you not see that my faith is failing? Do you not see that my spirit is failing? Okay, well, this is what I mean. We could just open the Bible and read Psalms and be fine. That could like be our prayer because it's so relatable. Anyways, he says, answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me. Have you ever felt like the Lord was hiding? Like you couldn't hear what was, okay. David is like, do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go into the pit. Who be like those, and I think about the pit is like that, just do it on my own, who just surrender to the situation, who just say, I'm done, I'm here. Lord, David's saying, I don't want to be that person. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Come on. I'm saying this can just be our prayer. Lord, I want to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to hear the loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. And this is point number two. Teach me to do your will. Would you search me? And would you teach me to do your will? For you are God. Thank goodness, hallelujah, that he is God. He is faithful. For you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. See, when we not only just say, Lord, would you search me? Would you know me? Then the next thing gets to be, would you teach me your will? Would you teach me your will? When you think about in the Lord's Prayer, it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or you think about when Jesus was about to, right before they arrest him, he's in like torment and agony about what's happening. He says, Lord, if it's your will, would this cup pass by me? There's something about understanding, Lord, would you teach me your will? Would you show me what I need to know in this situation so that I can walk out what you're asking me to do? He says, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, your spirit is good, and lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. You know what I love about this? As in David's like calling out to the Lord, that the Lord never fails him, it doesn't bother him, that he says, for your name's sake, that we carry his namesake wherever we go. That even in our situations, our decisions, our troubles, that he still gets to say, Susie, you carry my namesake wherever you go. You're my daughter. You're the daughter of the Most High. That namesake never goes away. I'm a child of God. That namesake never goes away. And part of that namesake, part of that in place of inheritance is to be in righteousness, which means in right standing with him. See, so he calls our call number one, I think, in this season is, search me, Lord. Show me what's going on with my anxieties. Show me, help me learn those places where I've become self-reliant. Teach me in your way everlasting. Teach me your will so that we can be in right standing with him. We're called to be people who live peaceably with other people. The only way we can live peaceably with other people is resolving the issues in our heart. There's no way around it. If I'm holding unforgiveness towards someone, that means when I come into a situation, I can't live peaceably. If I don't have a handle of what's going on in my heart, do you see how this is all connected? If I don't have a handle of what's going on in my heart, I don't actually know what I need to surrender to him and where I need to trust him. And if I don't know where I can trust him, then that affects how I love and I'm loving and peace at peace with people. Do you see? It's all a cycle. Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 12. I think I need a new Bible. I'm not ready for a new Bible. Romans chapter 12. Again, like if I could, I don't like read it. Write it down, go back and just read it. But Romans chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 9. And it says, let love, so we're talking about our heart. Now we're going to that next place. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer. So we're going to stop there for a moment. So we see our hearts stay before the Lord, teach us his will. And what we read here is that we're to let love be without hypocrisy. I had this thought when I was like done, then I went back and wrote it down. Has anyone ever heard that the church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites? Yeah, we have. What I'm just going to put out there to you, because what made me think about this, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. If we're to love without hypocrisy, that means that we actually have to stand for truth. See, immediately following that scripture of let love be with hypocrisy, without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. What I would just present to you is part of the reason people have fined, and we have to grapple with some of these things because of the time we're in. We hear it. We all, right when I said, how many people have heard that the church is filled with hypocrites? It's like the easiest thing for someone just to say about why they don't go to church. But here's the problem. It's because the church has made compromise on what is good and what is evil. See, you can go to any church and you can have them believe anything you want. You can find a church that literally you can Google. You can find churches that believe probably in like polygamy. You can find, I mean, like whatever. You can find a church that is like believes anything to be true because the church has compromised truth. And in here, when we talk about, and this is why we got to keep our heart before the Lord, is because we cannot be people who allow our hearts to live in deceit about what is evil and what is good. Because when we make compromise about what is evil and what is good, we look like hypocrites. So here, Paul is saying, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. I only know what is good and evil is if I keep my heart in a posture of surrender to the Lord so that when I pick up something that I think is like, I think this is fine, that the Lord would say, no, what does my word say? And now I can live in a way that's still loving, but abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. See, the reason we have found is that we have allowed the church to be infiltrated under this idea of black and white, about all this gray. And the Lord is clear. He's saying you can love without hypocrisy, but you need to abhor what is evil and you need to cling to what is good. And because we are all people who are on a journey with the Lord, the first place that will always start is with ourself. By saying, would you examine my heart? What things in my mind have become so cluttered because of what I've watched, what I've allowed, what I've become desensitized to? That when Sam and I were in that situation, how many times have I just been like, But I was deeply moved and I felt the Lord's like heart for them. Not because I'm good and like this, like because I'm a pastor. No, because I just like, Lord, I want to be, my heart has been, move my heart for what moves yours. I can do that in love. And the best way I can do that in love is keeping my heart in alignment with what the Lord's heart is. We're to despise what is evil, but cling to what is good. When I read scripture, it is very clear. There is no answer in here that we cannot find that would not answer what we need to know. Humanity has not changed that much. Like I said last week, when I was reading through Zephaniah, humanity has not changed that much. We're pretty much still the same. We just have more knowledge more than anything. We need the Lord to teach us and recalibrate what it looks like to love one another in a Christ-like way. And only the Lord, because I'll read in here, I'll keep reading. So now he's saying, let's be kindly affectionate. This is Paul's instruction for us as the church to each other. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. He's giving us the blueprint. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer. Does that not sound like something we could apply to today? Yes. Now this is where it begins, and this is why we need our heart to be in a place that stays before the Lord, because this is where I sometimes struggle, if I'm going to be really honest. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Oh, repay no one. Everyone say no one. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in sight of all men. If it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's what I'm getting to, is we cannot do that on our own strength. I can't even sometimes drive on my own strength, right? Someone like gets in front of me, I'm like, oh, what are you, I get up all in arms sometimes, and I'm stressing about things that don't even matter. If I can sometimes not even get on the road without having like the grace of God on my life, what makes me think that I'm able to love those who persecute me, bless those who persecute me, give food to those who like are my enemy, give drink to those who are, how am I intended to do that? I can on my own. And because we all have different strengths, that's part of it, right? God has gifted us all in a certain way, so we see situations in a certain way. We can both walk into a situation, someone say the same thing, exact thing to us, and we'll be moved differently in part with our own experiences, how God has created us, et cetera, et cetera, right? Jay is a lot more gracious and merciful than I am. It just is what it is. I'm not even gonna try to play around. He is just like, just things roll off him. He just like, okay, whatever, right? But there's other things that move him, right? So knowing all of that, we need the Lord and our heart to stay before him so that we're not offended, so that we don't carry this, so that we're able to love people the way Christ has asked us to love. And that's without our own opinion. That's what I loved about this part. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I have a lot of opinions and they're not always wise. I say this because we're in a time where right now, like this time right now, people would rather be right than be in relationship with one another. I'm gonna say that again. We're in a time right now where people would rather be right than to be in relationship with one another. And we have to, as believers, keep our opinions before the Lord and say, okay, this is where I sit with this. Would you move me? Would you show me what really matters so that I can like rejoice with people who they need to be rejoiced with, so I can weep with people, so I can bless those people who curse me? We gotta keep ourselves before the Lord and our hearts open to him, and not just open, willing to walk out whatever he's asked us to walk out. Because as much as it depends on you, we are to live peaceable with one another. Not as much as what with Jay, I don't think there's what's immunity pass because Jay's more gracious. No, like I'm gonna have to stand before the Lord on my own as well. And with as much as is at my end, as much as I can do, I need to live peaceable with other people. Which means the only way I can live peaceable with one another, with some people sometimes, is keeping my heart in surrender and ask him every day, would you search me? Would you show me? Would you help me? Because I have a lot of opinions. Oh, but I want to love people like you love them. I want to sit with someone who is weeping, and would you give me the capacity to mourn with them? I want to rejoice with people. I want to stand in faith with people. But see, when we're all caught up with this other stuff and our own stuff, and we're just doing it the way we know to do it, we miss out on so much. My heart for us, and I say this probably a lot, is that we would be people who trust the Lord because he is loving and forgiving, and he freely gives. And because of that, we love and we forgive and we freely give. Would we be a people who live so open-handedly with the Lord? We'd be free to love our enemies with the confidence that he can turn around any situation. That we would be people who would move in generosity in a way towards people so much that it would awaken them to the call that the Lord is calling to them. Would we be people who would walk in so much generosity, and I don't just mean financial generosity, generosity with our time, generosity with our attention, generosity with our prayers, we would just be people who would move in grace and generosity and our mercy to one another, because we know God is faithful and he'll take care of what he needs to take care of. His heart isn't actually, in fact, that he wants to judge and cast judgment on everybody. His heart is that none would perish, that every person would come to know him, that every person would come to know his hope, that every person would come to know his grace, that every person would come to know his salvation. That's his heart. Would we be people who would be so moved by that generosity that he gives towards us that we would extend it to other people? So my challenge to you today is, would you just say, Lord, would you search my heart? Would you teach me to do your will so that I can live at peace with people, so I can be a peacemaker? Do we have an amen there? Yeah. Amen. Let me pray, and then I have a benediction for us at the end. So I'm going to move towards that. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I pray that if whatever it is this week that you were, as going through the message, Lord, that you would bring to remembrance this week the things that need our attention, whether it's just to live generously towards people, so much so that your grace and your love would be awakened in them, that your beckoning would be awakened in them. If it is that we would just lay our anxieties at your feet, and that you would show us through those places of that we're walking through, would you show us how we need to surrender to you? Or Lord, that you would search us, and that we would just even know that maybe we've been doing it the way you've asking us, that we are hearing your voice. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we would just respond to your spirit, that we would walk boldly knowing that you're speaking, that we would walk boldly and courageously in obedience, Lord, and that you would have your way in us and have your way in this church. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Here is my benediction to you. May our God, who can keep us from stumbling, have your attention. May you be aware of the exceeding joy that he brings. We serve a God who is wise, glorious, and present, who has dominion and power over the places that we surrender to him. Would he be glorified in your life? Would we walk in the mercy and peace? And would his love be multiplied to us and to others this week? Amen and amen. All right. Well, we love you guys. Thank you for this.
What was that verse?
What was that verse?
That you just read.
That was my benediction that I wrote. It's the Bible like combined. I could write it for you. That was my benediction for you guys. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we love you guys. Let us know if you have any questions. If you need prayer, there's some people up here that can pray for you. Get some treats, enjoy some fellowship, and have a great week.